There are best-selling memoirs about dysfunctional families, and then there is Running with Scissors. This memoir takes the genre beyond the dysfunctional and into what even its author would call the demented. NPR's Renee Montagne spoke with writer Augustine Burroughs.
Now, the basics of this memoir will sound familiar. A cold, distant father, a mother who imagines herself the reincarnation of the confessional and suicidal poet Anne Sexton, a childhood set in the anything goes 70s. So far, so good. But then enter a strange psychiatrist named Dr. Finch, all names have been changed, who offers a home to young Augustine Burroughs. Suddenly, the boy finds himself living Adam's family values, where, for example, the children play with the electroshock machine. His own parents have taken off, his father out the door, and his mother, Augustine Burroughs describes it in Running with Scissors.
My mother began to go crazy. Not crazy in a let's paint the kitchen bright red sort of way, but crazy in a gas oven toothpaste sandwich I am God sort of way. Gone were the days when she would stand on the deck lighting lemon-scented candles without then having to eat the wax. Gone, too, were the once-a-week therapy sessions. My mother began seeing Dr. Finch nearly every day.
And as it turned out, so did you.
I did, too. I mean, he had a lot of charisma, you know, in the same way that, like, a Charlie Manson would have charisma. But he is someone that a kid would like, because he really did look just like Santa Claus, you know, with the white hair and the white beard, and he actually did sometimes wear a Santa hat. And he liked to think of himself like that. You know, he was a father figure, a big, jolly father figure.
Now, you were a child, as you describe yourself, who longed for normalcy in a pretty abnormal world. But you weren't cardboard cutout sort of normal kid. There's a little passage on page 19 where you describe yourself.
I flatly refused to go to school if my hair was not perfect, if the light didn't fall across it in a smooth blonde sheet. I wanted my hair to look exactly like the mannequin boys at Ann August, where my mother shopped.
Oh boy. So you end up at Dr. Finch's.
And I liked Dr. Finch, as crazy and, you know, eccentric as he was. And so my mother, when she told me we were going to go over to his house, I was very, very excited, and I dressed up, you know, in like a blazer and slacks. It was beautiful, you know, houses on this street in Northampton, Massachusetts, except one that was, you know, pink and dilapidated and sort of falling into the ground, and I was horrified. And I thought, that can't be it, and sure enough it was, and we walked inside, and it was just squalor. I mean, there was just animal hair all over the carpets, and the sofa was overturned.
Now, I think there was a Christmas tree.
Well, yeah, the Christmas tree did in the house, as I got to stay there more often, I saw that, you know, time sort of bent in the Finch house. It was very elastic, shall we say. And the Christmas tree would easily stay up through summer, you know, and we would sit in the TV room watching TV, and we'd just pluck, you know, remnants, candy canes or chocolate Santa heads off the tree. And here I am, this prissy little boy, and I'm thrown into this world of chaos. And I kind of thrived, you know, in a way. I just adapted. But, you know, when they were sitting on the sofa, you know, munching on dog food, I was, you know, right there saying, okay, I'll try it. Once you try them, they're actually pretty good. They're nutty with a slight sweet aftertaste and just a little bit greasy.
Now you know that.
I know way too much about the taste of dog food from my childhood.
There are many things in the book that it's actually hard to talk about. There is one, though, that is we can talk about, and that is the yard sale. Tell us about that.
Well, we had decided, you know, it was time to have a yard sale because we had too much furniture and stuff around the house. We began moving items outside, you know, like there was a stove and a coffee table and a chair, etc. So we began moving it all out into the yard, and we found that we had so much stuff we could actually make almost like a living room arrangement out there, you know, with a table next to the chair and a folding screen, and it all kind of looked good. So we ended up getting in some extension cords and plugging in these appliances, and we kind of moved outside. And I remember cars would, you know, drive by really slowly, and who are these people, you know, making a milkshake outside with the blender, you know, at this kitchen counter, which is on the lawn. But it was fun, and the doctor saw a couple patients, I remember, out there, shielded behind a needlepoint screen blocking the view. But, you know, he kept his prescription pad and the table out there. And when it rained, we would go inside, obviously.
Right.
Well, maybe that's not obvious, actually.
No, actually, it's not.
We didn't stay outside when it rained. But, you know, we couldn't part with anything after a while.
This memoir, the things that happened to you, I mean, you turn them into things that are, you know, wickedly funny throughout.
Thank you.
It's also, though, shot through with a certain amount of sadness and a certain amount of pain. And, you know, I actually, at this moment, I think we really have to warn anyone listening and maybe thinking about running out and getting the book, that about a third of the way through, there's a chapter filled with some pretty hardcore descriptions of, graphic descriptions of your initiation into sex at age 13
Right.
with a 33-year-old man, the pedophile who lived in the back.
That was hardest to write, you know, the sex was the hardest part for me to write in this book because it was just so uncomfortable to experience and it was just awful, you know. But I felt like I had to do that and I knew that it would turn some people off, you know, but I wanted to give a real feeling of what it was really like to grow up in this environment. And part of it was that, you know, the dichotomy of that, yeah, there were moments of just excruciating hilarity and eccentricity and freedom. But, you know, these were countered with this kind of stuff that should not be happening to a 13-year-old.
On the one hand, one wouldn't wish this nightmarish childhood that you described throughout this book on anyone.
Right.
And yet you emerged from this with a lot of material and not so wounded that you couldn't write it.
Right. You know, I've always had an eye that found the humor in a situation, and that really helped me in this experience. I mean, I saw the funny stuff when I was very, very young, and that quality saved me when I was in this experience because I was always able to see the ridiculous, you know, the ludicrous side of a situation. And that was like a bridge that got me through it, you know, and it was only the years later that I could invest thousands of dollars in psychotherapy and understand what happened to me. But
yeah, thousands of dollars.
Tens of thousands, let me correct that. Hundreds of that, no.
Augustine Burroughs wrote the memoir, Running with Scissors. I'm Renee Montaigne, NPR News.
A longer version of this interview can be heard on npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Bob Edwards will be back tomorrow. I'm Alex Jeffrey.